Good evening. Good to be with you, folk. Wife and I, this May would have been 20 years that we moved away. We finished school, and our baby girl we had then was 3 years old. She'll be 23. She's in college over at Shawnee Baptist, over there, about 4 hours from home, preacher. Okay. But doing good. We're thrilled. We're thrilled to come back, thrilled to come. It's kind of, you know, where every year, where you was raised, you grew up. That's a special place for you, isn't it? Well, I was born and raised in northern Indiana, and I was born again in northern Indiana, but then after about 2.5 years, God sent me down here, and for 4 years, here's where I grew up spiritually. And it's a great place, great opportunities, and God's really blessed us both, both wife and I, for just being a part of this ministry, and it'll always be a part of our hearts. I feel a little, naked might be the word. I don't have my jacket with me. When we was packing to come to make this vacation, the wife said, "You need your suit jacket." I said, "Don't worry about it, honey. I'll get it." I don't have it, but I'm although I'm kind of embarrassed that way. I like to wear a jacket. When we preach, we still wear them in West Virginia. Preach, you know that, don't you? But I'm be more embarrassed if I had to pack the pants and didn't bring them. So I'm glad it's a jacket I had to pack and didn't bring him. It'd be more embarrassing otherwise. But 20 years ago, the Lord blessed us and we left and tried to follow the will of God. Been over 18 and a half years there in Pinch, West Virginia, pastor and trying to do work. And yeah, I do sneak away still and catch a fish or two. But now that the weather's breaking, we've got about 10 to get baptized, preacher. We use a creek. So I've been doing both fishing. I've been doing both. I ain't slacked off too much there. I've increased in age, in size. See, if I wore the jacket, it makes me look thin. This shirt makes me look fat. Did you notice that? But increased here, but I've also decreased with these. So I got to put these on. If you would, please, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Look at one verse tonight and maybe give you a word of encouragement here if we can. Thankful to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, look at one verse, verse 1. Paul speaks here. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for allowing us to assemble tonight. God, no doubt many of our hearts are with those that have been laboring all day after knocking doors. We're glad to know that. We know they're having a great service tonight. But right here now, Lord, help us. Give us something that might bless us, encourage us. Lord, even though if we may not be discouraged, still we can always be encouraged. So I pray, Lord, you encourage our hearts. And we always ask that there be one in the house that doesn't know you as Savior. May they see that need and call on you before it's eternally too late. We ask. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about your call and your conduct. The scripture says right here that God says that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Our call should go along with our conduct. For instance, when I was in high school, 100 pounds lighter, 25 pounds plus years more, whatever, they used to call me Bodine. Now they called me that because of my conduct. I think I acted like Jethro Bodine, looked like him a little bit. All right, it's a name. You hear somebody, they nickname him Nosy. And so you finally meet him or meet her, and you notice their nose isn't so big. You figure they're calling them Nosy because of their conduct, right? A fireman, you expect a fireman to be around the firehouse, amen? And you expect a Christian to be around the church house, amen? There's a call and there's a conduct. Now, the Bible calls us as believers many different things. For once, he calls us saints, Romans 1:7, to all that be in robe, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace and be unto you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, God says, hey, now that you're saved, I'm going to call you some things. And when I call you these things, there's a conduct that goes right along with it. Walk worthy of the calling that I've called you. He says, you're saved, I call you a saint. So what's our walk ought to be? We ought to be holy. We ought to conduct ourselves in a holy, a sanctified way. Yeah, the moment I got saved, when God saved me, he set me aside. But there's also some personal sanctification that I need to do as a saint of God. Amen? So I ought to be holy. I ought to be like Christ. Be different than the world. Be separate from the world. Let the Holy Spirit use me. Another word God has us called, really those that are watching us first called as Christians. But we're called Christians. The Bible says this, Acts 21 verse 6. And when he had found him, speaking to Paul, they brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. That's kind of unique, this idea of being called a Christian. We're called a Christian, and along with that, there should be a conduct. We should conduct ourselves, what? Christ-like. Matter of fact, if you notice the verse says, after Paul was there a year, it took a year of some growth. Remember when you was first saved? Not that it happened a second time, but you initially trusted Christ as Savior? When I was first saved, it was a Thursday night. A preacher come to my door and led me to Christ right there in my living room. I went to work Friday. I looked no different. I wore the same clothes, still had the same habits, had the same talk. I didn't look very Christian. I saved. God did that, but I wasn't very Christian. But after being in the church a while, amen, after reading my Bible a while, guess what? My talk changed. My walk changed. The ball caps that had seductive statements, they threw them out. T-shirts. I remember one day getting dressed and putting a T-shirt on and looking in the mirror, and I'm dyslexic, so I could read it better in the mirror. And I looked at that disgusting statement on my T-shirt, and I said, hadn't been saved maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I said, man, I can't wear that no more. What was happening? I was growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, and I was becoming a Christian. Now, I got saved the moment I trusted Christ, going to heaven, missing hell, but I'm becoming a Christian. It said here, after a year, it takes some growth to look like Christ. So don't be too critical on a new convert if he don't look too clean a week later. I mean, it takes some growth, amen? But after a year, they look like Christian. Their action, my reaction started to be right. Matter of fact, my reaction is more surprising. We all can act, but reacting. Boy, when you see your reaction like Christ would react, you see him and folks say, hey, something different about old Fence. What's different about him? He's just as ugly as always was. Yeah, but he reacts different. He don't even tell the jokes anymore he used to tell. He don't wear and go to the places anymore. He don't even listen to the music he listens to, used to. What's happened? I think he's a Christian. Your call and your conduct. Give me another one. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he said this, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is therefore good for nothing, but be cast down, trodden under the foot of men. And it says, under the foot of men. God calls us salt. Jesus said, you're to be the salt. Now that's a calling. That's our vocation. And so since you are salt, be pungent. Be salty. There's some things about salt. There's one thing about salt nobody can. You cannot ignore salt. You get your bowl ice cream and you turn your head and let me shake just a little bit. Not a lot, a little bit on your ice cream. You will not ignore it when you take your next bite. Amen? And God has left us as Christians to put the salt in the world's ice cream. To the lost man, he's got a bowl that he's enjoying. There's pleasure in sin, and he doesn't want that salty Christianity on it. Now, when I was lost, I never once walked up to a Christian and said, would you please tell me about Jesus? I never funded one down, somebody tell me about Jesus. But people told me. The salty ones did. I didn't ask them to, but they just dumped salt all over my ice cream. And the first couple times, I didn't want it. But after a bit, God wooed and drawed. I'm thankful for every salty believer I knew before I got saved. I'm thankful for the salty ones I knew after I got saved to help me grow. Hey, how full is your spiritual salt shaker, church? You're called salt, so be pungent, be salty. There's one. The world today can almost ignore the church. The church becomes of no effect if we lose our savor. Another scripture says we're good for nothing to be thrown in the dung pile. That's pretty rough. I want to be worth something more than thrown in the dung pile. How about you? And here's what you need to do. You need to be salty. God called you to be salty. Now, when I got saved, I didn't want to be salty. I wanted to get out of hell. When I trusted Christ as Savior, here's what I wanted. I knew Vince Butt was going straight to hell, and I believed with all my being at the time that the only way out was Jesus Christ. And I asked him to save me. But now that I am saved, he says, hey, there's a whole lot more to that, Vince. What is it? Well, you're a Christian now. You're going to be like me. You know, I didn't buck it. I want to be. You see, when you get saved, you want to. The difference between religion and salvation. Religion, you have to. Salvation, you want to. You have a divine nature when you get saved. The Spirit of God awakens your old dead spirit, and you want to be like Christ, and you want to be salty. Everybody here tonight here because you want to be salty. This world needs salty Christians. In the same chapter, just a few verses later, Jesus said, not only do I call you salt, but I'll call you light. He says, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on the hill cannot be hid, neither doth the men light candle to put it in a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it may give light. Let your light so shine before men that they might what? See your good works. And then when they see it, you're to be quick to do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. God calls us a light, so let's be bright. God calls us a light, so let's take our little light and hold it up just as high as we can. Not in pride, in thankfulness. Not in pride, but in the glory of God. The world holds up the things they glory in. Why don't we hold up what we glory in, Christ, and get out there and shine that light? Hey, he's called you a light. Why run around like a 25 watt when you can be a 100 watt? Be bright for the glory of God. Amen. Say, man, some of you just dull, dim bulbs. Oh, you're saved, but you ain't much effect. Ain't that sad? Man, I want to be bright for him. That's why I wore my yellow shirt. Then it's another scripture I think about when we think about being bright. The Bible says the devil, he's a god of this world, and he's blind in the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto the lost. The devil is busy giving the world blinders. And at the same time, he's busy telling the believers to tone it down. All right, if you have to raise a hand, raise it in church. He's got a church toned down. We don't even get happy in church. But he tells us to tone it, tells the church to tone it down. And then, or if anything, if you have to, just keep it in the church, keep it off the streets, and tells the preacher, hey, tone it down. Yet the Bible says we're a light, so let's be what? Let's be bright for the glory of God. Amen? Here's another one. Can I give you another one? Paul said this to the church of Corinth. He says, ye are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In other words, dear friend, you are an epistle letter, or you are a walking track, church track. If you are saved, if you're saved, there's enough. You don't have to know much of the Bible. If you're saved, you know enough right there to get somebody else saved. Tell them what happened to you, how you accepted Christ. With just that little bit of knowledge after just being saved, with the Spirit of God's help, there's enough truth in you to be a help to a lost person. Amen? He says you're an epistle. And so since you're an epistle, that's what you're called. So be legible. I mean, when you're going to, if you're saved, the print's there, but don't be small print. People got to squint and wonder, what are you? Be bold print. I love these tracks. I picked these up over 20 years ago right here at the church. I think the Foster Club started using them. If you was to die right now, you know for sure. You know for sure. I like it. Bold print. Hey, if there's enough truth in this little piece of paper right here, with the Spirit of God working with it, get somebody saved. Amen? This ain't the whole Bible, just a few verses, but enough to get somebody saved. You don't have the whole Bible in your heart, but if you've got a few verses, that's enough if you just be bold and let folks see it. Now here's what you got. Tonight, here's what we got. If you're saved, you're either this track, or watch it now, you're this track. If you're saved, now hear me out. There's enough truth in this little watered up track. Get somebody saved. Would you amen that, church? Yes, sir. There is, right? But if you're going to hand it to somebody or set it down somewhere on a bubblegum machine or wherever you place your tracks, somebody's going to have to take a lot of extra effort to get any help from this old wrinkled thing. They're going to have to unfold it, get mighty curious, and wrinkle and iron out the wrinkles before they get any help. Child of God, if you're saved, if your life isn't clean for the glory of God, see, he wants his church without wrinkle, spot, and blemish, amen? Then you're running around like this old crumpled track. Oh, there's enough truth in you. I'm a Christian. Nobody's questioning that. If you trusted Christ as Savior, hey, it's it. Settled, amen? But wouldn't this be silly today, our soul winners out there in the Lakeland area, knock on the door, tell them they're from Ambassadors for Christ, from Calvary Baptist Church, where they're helping, and hand them a little wadded paper like this? Wouldn't that be silly? You say, well, they'd laugh at you. Just like some are laughing at your testimony. Since we are a tract, epistle, let's be legible. Let's be clean. Let's be neat as we can be. Let's be bold print where folks can read us. Would you amen that? Now that's some help right there, church. That's some real help. Now you say, preacher, I've got to admit, I look more like this tract that's crumpled than I do that tract. And I hear people say this, and it upsets me. They say, well, you know, don't watch me, don't follow me. They're a Christian, don't follow me. I said, why? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If your testimony is, hey, don't watch me, don't copy me, then whatever that is in your life, you need to get rid of it so folks can follow you. And if there's something you need to put in your life, then put it in there so you can be an example, so you can say, hey, follow me. Look at my track. Are you hearing me, church? Now you say, preacher, I'm more of this wrinkled track. God will help you. Because he wants to present his church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But watch it now. I've noticed something. My shirts, I'll wear my shirt any way it looks. I don't really care. The wife says, you ain't going out of the house with that shirt. So you know what she does? She makes me take it off. She takes it over to an iron board. And there's two things she applies to get the wrinkles out of my shirt. Heat and pressure. And you know what? You say, preacher, I'm this track right here, okay? You want to be this track? Oh, I do. Hang on. Because God's going to have to apply some heat and some pressure in your life to get you back to this shape. But guess what? It's worth it, isn't it? He says, I've called you an epistle, so be legible. He said, I've called you, just real quick, a soldier. So be what's a soldier do. Be valiant. Hey, endure hardness. Quit your whining, quit your crying. Oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. Hey, you're a soldier. Soldiers don't want bellyache. They expect some hardness. They expect some hard times. And they keep going forward for the cause of Christ. Amen. Bible says this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? You're going to have some hard times. Watch it now. The key to that verse is this. In Christ Jesus. You know, if you were drunk and AAA cleaned you up, and you told everybody, I'm not drinking no more, and they say, why? You say, well, because I went to AAA, the world would applaud you. If you're drunk, you got saved, and you somebody sees you say, you don't drink no more? No, I don't drink. Why? Because I got saved. Jesus cleaned me up. Boy, you're going to suffer persecution over that. Is that not the truth? You can have a form of godliness, and the world will clap their hands. But if you have it with the power, which is Christ, you claim your godliness in Christ Jesus, every time you're going to suffer some persecution. Would you amen that? Hey, amen on our nation. I love our nation. I salute the flag. I'm thankful for it. We put this God bless America. Hey, that's a generic to them. Put Jesus Christ bless America, you're going to be in trouble. The rub's in the name of Christ. And yet it's the name of Christ that folks need to be saved. As a soldier of Christ, you're going to endure some hard times when you just claim the name of the victorious one. Every time. So since you're a soldier, quit your belly aching, quit your whining, and endure hardness. God calls us children. I don't care if you are old. You're a child to God. That ought to make you feel good and walk out of with a pep in your step. Amen. I'm a child. Peter says this. As obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the form of lust in your ignorance. It was time we didn't know no better. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God calls us a child. Now that's the calling. Here's the conduct. Be obedient. If you're a child of God, you're to be obedient. It's not that difficult to serve Christ. Just do what he says. I mean, kindergarten. They put me in the kindergarten class 3 times. Put me in kindergarten class, and all they were teaching me to do was follow instructions. All right, take your crayon, go from left to right, go up and down, down and up, trace the circle, keep it inside the lines, raise your hand when you want. All they were teaching me in K-5 was just to be obedient, follow instructions. Amen? Some of us still can't do it. Here's the instructions. They're not that hard to understand. And we're God's child. We're supposed to be obedient. Would you amen that? Amen. How about enough? Give you a couple more and I'm done. God calls us stewards. And the conduct of a steward is to be found faithful. One thing everybody in this building can be is faithful. We all can't be as talented as the next person because God just hadn't given it to us. Don't fight over it. Don't fuss over it. Some of y'all, please, don't even try to sing a special. Please. All right? We all don't have it. That brother song leader you got, preacher, I keep him. That's a fine song leader. Amen? That's some talent. And the ladies get up on the instruments and play it, and I see the fellow over here with a tuba or something blowing it Sunday. And, man, I can't do all that. I can blow, but it don't sound good. But it's one thing every one of us can do. We be faithful. We be faithful in church services. We be faithful in our giving. We be faithful in our going. We'd be faithful to God. Would you amen that? Hey, you are a steward. Everything you own, from the day he is born, God give you everything. You come in this world with nothing. Job said, I'll leave it that way. Hey, blessed be the name. You are enjoying blessings today. You won't have it tomorrow. Someone's lost them now. You know how it is. People, things, hell, places. But you can always be faithful with or without those blessings. God wants us faithful as stewards. Give you two more and I'm done. He calls us sheep. Now that's what he calls us. So what's our conduct? Follow the shepherd. Bible says, he says, he putteth forth his own sheep and he goeth before them. He don't push them. He leads them. And the sheep follow him and they know his voice. And a stranger they won't follow. I worry about those that 1 minute say they're saved and they follow some of the craziest stuff out there. They just, I worry for them and I pray for them and I'll witness to them again. They don't hear the same shepherd I hear. The Bible says that he leads us down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And there's only one path of righteousness. And if he's leading, that means we'll all be on the same path. But as sheep, we ought to follow the shepherd. Amen? He calls us friend. Now, this is a good one. And so we ought to show ourselves friendly. Now, we ought to be friendly to others. My daughters, I've got two of them here tonight, the other one's school. And they often say, I'll be anywhere. We stopped at a motel on the way here. And I witnessed it to a guy in Canada. Boy, everybody knows him Canadians that he witnessed to. Amen? Yeah. And the girl said, Mom, Dad always makes friends. You get in the truck. Dad, how come you always make friends? I said, I just do what the Bible says. Show yourself friendly. That's all. Now, some people you can't be friends even if you try to be friendly. But you know how it is. Some dogs get kicked even though they wag their tail. Okay. That's all there is to it. But Jesus said this. Jesus said, hey, I call you friend. He says, and I'm your friend. And I stick closer than a brother. Now watch this for a minute. Let's say you and I are friends. And I spend the day with you. And so as we spend the day together, you never talk to me. I mean, I'm with you side by side all day long. And you never talk to me. Would you be showing yourself friendly? Or I try to talk to you through the day and you never stop and listen to me. All day long, hey, 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 and you won't listen. Would you call yourself friendly? How about this one? You and I are together all day with friends and you meet people throughout the day, talk to them, and never one time you introduce me to the people you're talking to. It's like I'm never there. Would you say you're being friendly to me? No, but you've got a friend that's even closer to you than a brother. Jesus Christ, Spirit of God, says your Paraclete, he's right there with you. And you go all day, never talk to him. Go a week without talking to him. And then you never listen to him. You know how I listen to him, don't you? I get my heart in this book. And I listen to God. Well, I like in the mornings, I get up early, set up the chair, and just meditate and just talk to God. I don't hear audible voices. I hear louder in the heart. Amen. And it never disagrees with this. If it does, it's a different spirit. Amen. Go throughout the day and never listen to your friend. How about this one? Go all day and meet people and never introduce them to the friend that's with you. Never tell them about Jesus. You're not very friendly. Amen. Now, if you're here, you'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've got to admit, I haven't walked very worthy of the vocation where God called me. Let me ask you something, churches. Look up here at me. I'm done here. Got one last thought, and we're done. I'm in the house and say tonight this. Say, preacher, I know I'm saved. God has showed me something tonight that I see I'm not walking worthy as I should be. Can you raise your hand, anybody? One, two, three. Okay, that's good. I want you to remember that. There's one more character in the Bible God calls. A man that's lost. A man or a woman that does not know Christ as Savior. God calls them a sinner. Now God calls them that. Not my judgment. God calls them. You don't know Christ as Savior, you're a sinner. And with that calling, there's a conduct. You say, what's the conduct? You're supposed to get to the Savior. Sinners are supposed to come to Jesus. Amen? And if you're here tonight, if you happen to be here and you say, preacher, I'm not saved, the conduct, what you need to do tonight, don't wait another day, don't wait another moment, is come and trust Christ as Savior. Amen? And as we all stand and the pastor gets ready to take the invitation, you raised your hand a minute ago and you said, preacher, God showed me some area that I'm not walking as worthy as I should be. Which track are you? How bright are you? How salty are you? Hey, friend, how friendly are you? Amen? How many raise a hand and say, preacher, God, give me some help tonight? Well, won't you come up here and tell them and thank them for it as you come? Pastor, it's yours, my dear brother.